Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Open your Bibles this morning, or turn on your smartphones or your iPhone, whatever kind of phone you have, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. For those of you who are here for the first time, we want to welcome you here today. We're really, really glad you're here. And our prayer, our hope, is that you sense God's presence and experience Him in a real and genuine way. That's our prayer. We pray that you encounter God in a way that you've never encountered Him before. We also want to welcome back all of our college students from break. Now, Casper College just ramped up this week, and so it's good to have you back, all of our college students. We're glad you're with us. The grandson of Genghis Khan was a Mongolian general and statesman, Kublai Khan, and in the 1200s, Kublai Khan conquered China and became the first emperor of the Mongol dynasty, becoming the overlord of all of the Mongol dominions. And Kublai Khan once asked a couple of explorers, Niccolo and Maffeo Polo, the father and uncle of Marco Polo, he asked them to send 100 Christian missionaries to Mongolia. Only two came, and they turned back when they got into China because there was some warfare, there was some fighting. They turned around and went home, and missionaries never made it to Mongolia. As a result, Mongolia remained steadfast in Buddhism and other Eastern religions. Can you imagine what the Far East would look like today? Mongolia, China, Vietnam, Japan, Taiwan, all those areas, what they would look like today if Christian missionaries had reached them. Can you imagine maybe what wars, what tragedies, what lives had been taken over the past centuries could have been averted if Jesus Christ could have been brought to those nations and could have impacted them in a powerful way? This morning we're wrapping up a series called It's a Joy to Give, where we have been looking at why it's a joy to give to God, why it's a joy to tithe. And this morning we're going to focus on why it's a joy to give to missions. Why is it a joy to give to missions? And you know, when you think about it, why is it a joy to take time and energy after church today, going up to the stereo closet and bringing stuff down and setting everything up? Why is it a joy for several people to come this week and to be setting up booths and to be preparing games, to be cooking ethnic food? Hey, you don't want to miss the food on Saturday, okay? The food is fantastic. But why is it a joy for people to do that? Why is it a joy for us to give a missions faith promise next Sunday and also to give a special offering to missions? We're going to talk about what those about faith promises and what that special offering is in just a few moments. But as we get ready for next weekend, as we spend all this time, all this energy, all this money, all these resources, why is it a joy to give to missions? We want to talk about that today. And before we get into that, I first want to take a moment to define what missions is. Because when I was growing up in church, we never had missions offerings. They never talked about missionaries. There's only one person who came who was a missionary, and I remember her. She was an elderly, little old lady who had been in Africa for years, and she showed slides of half-naked people and a bunch of other things, and that was the only exposure I had. There wasn't much teaching, much emphasis on missions. It wasn't until I went to Bible college that I find out what missions was. And if you're taking notes this morning, and take out your notes out of your bulletin today, it says it's a joy to give to missions. We have what missions is. Missions is sharing Jesus. It's sharing Jesus with people around the world by doing three things. The first thing is giving above and beyond the tithe. We talked about the tithe last week. The tithe is 10%. We don't take missions out of our tithe, okay? Missions comes after we pay the 10%, after we return the 10% to God, then we give missions. It's giving above and beyond to missions endeavors. Secondly, it's praying for missionaries and the people that they're trying to reach. It's praying for them to have favor with their governments. It's for them to have protection for those that are in sensitive countries, countries where it's illegal maybe to be a Christian or to convert to Christianity or to share the gospel. It's praying for financial provision, praying for health for them, praying for those missionary families where some of them, they have to send their kids off to a boarding school and they're gone for 3-4 months at a time and they don't see them. They only see them like 3 months during the summer. I mean, there are sacrifices that missionaries make that you and I can't understand. And every week in our 12-12 prayer time, as we get letters from missionaries sharing their prayer requests, we put them right up here on the platform and we pray for our missionaries. And that's part of what missions is, because prayer does supernatural things. It provides a covering of protection. It gives empowerment, and it helps our missionaries to be effective. Prayer is one of the most important things you can do. It's not just giving your money, but prayer. And we encourage you, pray for missionaries. I encourage you to go back to the board back there. Everyone turn around and take a look back there, that purple board. That's our missions board. Those are the missionaries that we support. Take a look at one of them every Sunday after service and pray for at least one missionary during the week. Ask God to be with them, protect them, help them, provide for them, empower them. That's an important aspect. And then the last aspect is going as God leads me. Maybe it's a life calling. I want you to be open. I know there have been times in church services, in missions conventions, where God has called people to become missionaries. Sometimes they have been in a secular field. I know nurses, I know computer programmers that God has called them, and they went overseas and they did medical missions, or they went and they helped a missions organization do all their tech, do all their IT. God can use you in a powerful way, and God may be calling some of you maybe to go as a life calling, or maybe even to go for a couple years. I know some people go on 2-year trips, or sometimes it's just going on a trip for a week to New York City. I want you to be open to God saying, I want you to go to New York. I want you to minister to those people there. Through giving, through praying, and through going, that is how we share Jesus Christ with the world. That's what missions is. And so let's take a look at this morning three reasons why it's a joy to give to missions, okay? Reason number one, if you're taking notes today, is because giving to missions secures blessings both here and in heaven. Giving to missions secures blessings here and in heaven. Let's look at our text this morning, Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. Paul is writing this to the church in Philippi. Paul was a missionary. He and Barnabas left the church in Antioch, and they had been pastors in Antioch, but God called them to be missionaries, so they left and they went to countries, they went to cities where the gospel had never been taken before, and Philippi was one of those places that Paul went as a missionary. And while he was there and planted a church and saw people saved and grew them up and set up leaders so he could go to the next place and be a missionary there, the Philippians caught a vision for missions and they supported Paul and they continued to support him throughout his missionary journey. Take a look at verse 10, Philippians chapter 4. Paul says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again." Okay? He's saying it's flourished again. So they had given to Paul and supported missions before. And as we read this passage, we're going to see they have given now at least 4 times. They had a habit of supporting Paul, not just one and done, oh, we see you, you're gone and you're out of mind. No, they had a continuing relationship praying and supporting and helping Paul's missionary endeavors. It says, "Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity." Now look at Paul's attitude about possessions. He says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. Now, he's not talking about the state of Wyoming or the state of Montana or the state of California or Florida or Arizona, although Florida and Arizona sound kind of nice this time of year, huh? You could be content there during the wintertime. But he's not talking about that. He's talking about his financial state. This is what he says. He says, I know, verse 12, how to be abased. That word, it comes from the root word that we get the word basement. So in other words, the basement is as low as you can go in your house. You can't go any further down. Paul says, I know how to be abased. I know how to go through life when I'm in the cellar, when I'm going through a tough time, when I'm down in the dumps. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. I know what it's like to be in poverty, to go through a difficult time, but I also know what it's like to have just an abundance of provision and to be overwhelmingly financially blessed by God. And Paul says, I've learned how to be content in both. Wow. If we could say that. If I could be content in both extremes, when I am blessed over the moon and when I am down in the dumps and I'm struggling just to make ends meet, Paul says, I've learned to be content. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. And now listen to what he says. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That verse, many times we take it for many situations, but Paul was saying, I can go through any financial hardship. Christ can give me the strength to go to any financial hardship and any time of financial prosperity. That's really the context of that verse. And I believe it applies to other things, but how many know when you're struggling financially, it's one of the most difficult times for you? And Paul says, I can do it. Because God's with me in it. And maybe some of you are going through a financially difficult time right now. God can help you through it. He can provide for you. He can be there for you. Paul goes on to say, nevertheless, you've done well that you've shared in my distress. Paul, the missionary, had been in distress because he did not have support from a lot of other places. It was only the Philippians. It says in verse 15, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when he first started this, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. They were the only ones supporting him. They helped him get on his journey to go on his way. That's the first time they gave to him. He says, for even in Thessalonica, that's another place he went, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. That's a second and a third time they gave. And he says this, verse 17, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Paul says, when you give to missions, when you give to extend the kingdom of God, when you give to spread the gospel to all throughout the world, God, you are laying up fruit, you're laying up treasure in heaven. Do you realize that as Christians, we are going to give an accounting to God someday? I know sometimes people think, well, God's going to judge the sinner, but as a Christian, he's not going to judge me. No, the judgment seat of Christ, Paul talked about it, that all of us are going to stand before God, and God's going to evaluate how we lived our life. What do we do with our time, our talent, and our treasure? And he says, some people, as they live their life, they build with gold, silver, and precious gems, diamonds, sapphires, rubies. They're living their life and they're storing up treasures in heaven. And when those things pass through the fire, they stand the test and they have rewards, they have treasures in heaven. But there's other Christians, some that they build with wood, with hay, and with stubble. And when the fire tries them, it's all burned up. You see, how I live my life, how I use my time. Am I using my time for eternity to extend the kingdom, to make an impact in other people's lives? Am I doing that with my money? Am I doing that with my talent, using my abilities and my skills God has given me to make an impact for the lives of people to come to know Jesus and to grow on that? When we use our lives to impact others for Christ, we are laying up treasure in heaven. And that's what Paul says, as you've given to missions, as you've given to me, he says, that's why I want you to give. I'm seeking the fruit that abounds to your account. You're laying up treasure in heaven. It secures blessings in heaven. But it's not just something way off in the future. Paul says, you're also blessed right now. Verse 18, indeed, I have all and abound. I'm full, having received from Epaphroditus the things you sent. So this is the time he was in distress. No one was supporting him. It's the fourth time they've given to him. They sent a guy from their church, Epaphroditus, that brought money to them. And he says, look at this. It's a sweet, smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Back in Bible times, they would offer sacrifices, and God says, I am pleased, and they would offer incense, and it would go up, the smell of the sacrifice and the incense, and it was an act of worship to God. And Paul says, as you guys have been given to missions, do you realize God has been pleased with that? It's been an act of worship. You know, it takes joy when you and I help other people come to know Jesus Christ. It's an act of worship. And then he says this, verse 19, and links what's following to everything previous, okay? And my God shall supply, I can't hear you, all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I know many times people quote this verse and stand on this promise. So I'm a Christian. God's going to provide for all my needs according to his riches and glory. But do you realize the context of this verse? As Paul said, because you've been giving to missions, because you've been extending the kingdom, because you haven't been just thinking about yourself, but you have a heart to reach the lost and to win the world, because of that, God will supply all of your need. And that's the context of that promise. And so it not only secures treasure in heaven, but God says it's going to secure blessings on earth as you put the kingdom first and you give as God directs you to give. It's a joy to give to missions because it secures blessings here and in heaven. That's the first reason it's a joy to give to missions. Number two, if you're taking notes this morning, the second reason it's a joy to give to missions is it displays my love for God and his mission. It displays my love for God and his mission. Last week we saw in John chapter 14, verse 21, as Jesus was teaching, Jesus said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. If you do what I tell you to do, you love me. And what is a command God is, there's a lot of commands he's given us, but do you realize that Jesus has commanded us to be involved in missions? He has. It's not an option, but we see in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of Casper and nowhere else. Is that what it says? Okay, make disciples in Wyoming. Make disciples in America. North America? No, all the nations. God has commanded us to go everywhere and make disciples. Mark 16, 15, Jesus said, go into all the world, there's that all again, and preach the gospel to every creature. Acts 1, 8. Jesus, when they were waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he said, you'll receive power and you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. That was their hometown. In Judea, that was kind of like their state, kind of like the people around him that were people of their own. He said, in Samaria. Samaria were the outsiders, the people that the Jews really didn't get along with, the people that, and that really, the Jews didn't like them. They were of a different ethnicity, and they were kind of segregated from them. And they didn't like them. And he says, no, you be missionaries to those people that you really don't like. And then he said, to the end of the earth. We are to be witnesses everywhere. Do you realize that somewhere, sometime, someone came to you and brought the gospel to you? And you heard this message about how Jesus can save you and forgive you, and he can deliver you, and he can make you whole again. He can heal you. He's a God who's always there, and he wants to take you to heaven. How many are glad that someone came to you and gave you the good news of Jesus Christ? Raise your hand today. I see a lot of people here. We are so blessed to have received that good message. But do you realize that today there are 2 billion, not million, but billion with a B, 2 billion people on planet Earth that have never heard the name Jesus? They don't know that God loves them. They don't know that they need him to forgive them of their sins. And they're trapped. Some of them are trapped in demonic possession. Some of them are trapped just in worshiping their false god. And they keep doing more and more and more, hoping that they can find peace, they can find forgiveness, that they can find life. But they just feel they're dead, they're empty. Friends, that's why we give to missions, so that people that don't know can know. The Philippians, they obeyed that command by helping Paul go into all the world, and they did it time and time again. We have 33 missionary families all over the world that we support. They're in Indonesia, Nigeria, Botswana, South Africa, Scotland, France, Spain, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Morocco, Philippines, inner city Denver, University of Wyoming, American high school campuses, a church plant in Jackson, and ministry to rural America. Those are just some of the places that we send our missionaries to. And people in those places that have not heard about Jesus or have been given an inaccurate representation of him are hearing the gospel and coming to Christ. And you see, if I love God and I love his mission, Jesus is the head of the body. You and I, the church, we are his body. If I love Jesus, then I'm going to love his mission. That was his mission, to seek and to save the lost, to seek and save you and me and everyone on the planet. One missionary can make an incredible difference. The past few weeks, we've been sharing that one of our goals for Missions Convention is to take an offering next week and raise $10,000 for the Upper Room Project. About 30 years ago, an Assembly of God missionary went to a country in the Middle East that was dominated by the Muslims, and after years and years of seeing very little results, God has begun to just blow the doors open. And Muslims by the thousands are getting saved in this country. And they can't meet out in public, so they meet in small groups, groups of about 16, 18 people. And today there are over 4,000 of these cell groups in this country. But the thing is, there's no Bible schools in these countries. And you can't just assimilate them. Even though they're getting saved, there's no way to disciple them, to grow them, to help them. And we are trying to raise thousands of dollars to send curriculum that will disciple these groups so false teachers don't come in and lead them astray so they can reach more people. That's the impact one missionary has had on a country. That's why next week we're going to take Missions Faith Promises. Our goal is to raise $50,000 in Missions Faith Promises. If we do, then we can add 12 more missionaries to monthly support. That's increasing our missionaries by a third. Because you see, the missionaries go to a place, and sometimes as they're faithful and they're praying, it takes years, but if they don't grow weary, in due season, there is a harvest. That's why next week we want to raise $10,000 to help the people, the new converts in that country. I had a chance to see the missionary. He spoke to us. And they were estimating that by the time January came, when we watched this video, there would be 4,500. They said, we're not sure how long of a window we have before this becomes really public, and when it does, it's going to clamp down, and so time is short. I want you to be praying about what you can give to God through this project and also in a missions faith promise. Let's take a look at the last reason really quickly why it's exciting to give to missions. And that reason is because it's exciting to experience miracles. When we give to missions, when we're listening to God and He says, give this, and we do, we can experience God's supernatural intervention in our lives. There are three levels of missions giving. We've got a slide up here, and it's a triple-layer chocolate cake. How many of you look, that looks good, huh? Yeah, those of you that have been fasting sweets, that looks really good, okay? And there's really three levels of missions giving. The first level you see there is budget. What can you budget out of your income? You know, it's like maybe you've got, you say, I want to budget 25 or 100 or 50, whatever it is, but you budget out of your regular checks money to give the missions. The second level is sacrifice. You'd say, you know what? I want to give the missions, and I go to Starbucks every day. I don't know, some people do, but some people are Starbucks addicts. You know, some people, they've been fasting on Starbucks. But you'd say, I'll give up one Starbucks a week. In a month's time, that's about $20. Or maybe you'd say, you know, I eat out for lunch every day. One day, I'm going to pack the lunch and the money I'd normally spend on eating out, I'm going to utilize that, or I'm going to pack a sack lunch. And maybe there's different things you do that you sacrifice and say, I can come up with more money to give to missions. That's the second level. We can use budget, we can use sacrifice, but there's a third level, and the blank in your notes this morning is faith. It is faith. And faith is the kind of prayer that says, God, I don't know where this is coming from, but I will give it if you provide it. If you enable me over the next 12 months, I will give this amount. And you take time to listen to God, and in your notes, or excuse me, in your bulletins, there is a faith promise card. I'd like everyone to take this out, take a look at it. Ushers, I want you to come and pass these out. If you don't have one, I'd like you to have one. And this is a faith promise card. I want you to take this home this week and pray about it. The card says, as God enables me, I will help take the message of Jesus into the world by giving through missions program of my local church. There's a place to put a new commitment or to renew your faith promise commitment. We ask you to make this for 12 months. And it's some people say, I like to give a weekly promise. Some people say, I like to do a monthly promise. I know some people say, I do a yearly amount, and they'll just write in, you know, X amount of dollars for a year, and then you can put your name and address and your details there. I don't want you to fill it out now. I want you to take this card home and pray about it this week and say, God, what do you want to provide for me? What do you want me to give to missions? And there are some of you that I know you're going through a very difficult time financially, and when you look at your budget, you're in the hole. You don't have enough to meet the needs of where you're at. And when it comes to sacrifice, you're already sacrificing. For some of you, an extra $5 a month would be faith. And you know what? That's fine. If God says $1, $2, $5, $50, $100, $500, whatever He speaks to you, any amount, if you're obeying God, that's the important thing, is to obey God. I know my wife and I, as we have given to missions over the past years, we've seen God do some miracles. When we moved to Casper 7 years ago, right before we moved, I took the kids in our church to kids camp. I was asked to be the camp chaplain, and I took the kids to camp. I was the chaplain that week. And on Thursday night, the district youth director, he said, all right, I want you, he said, I'm speaking to all the adults here. How many of you adults believe that God can speak to you? Raise your hand. And you did what I did, you know, all of us raised our hand. He says, how many believe God can give you an answer to a question? Raise your hand. Okay, we raised our hand. This was interesting. How many of you believe God can give you the answer to a question even before you know the question? Raise your hand. Okay? And so this is what he said. He said, I'm not going to tell you the question, but I want you to wait on God for a yes or a no. Okay? And if God says yes, then I want you to raise your hand when I say yes. If it's no, then raise your hand when I say no. And so he says, okay, wait on God. And so I'm praying, and it's like, okay, no, just didn't seem right. It didn't set right with me. But yes, it's like, yeah, I feel good about that, okay? Had no idea what he was talking about. Nothing had been said about missions the whole service, okay? And this was his question. There had been some missionaries that had been there at camp all week just sharing about missions with the kids, trying to give them a heart for missions. And the question was, will you support missionaries Bob and Barb Van Wyk to Botswana, South Africa at $25 a week? And I had raised my hand on yes, okay? And here's the thing. The week before, we had just come to Casper looking for a house hunting trip before we move. And housing was a lot more expensive here than where we had come from. And it was going up all the time. We had a hard time finding a house. Looked at about 30 homes, found one. But we were spending, I mean, we were at the top of our budget. And I had just done my budget the week before. Okay, we got to rob from Peter to pay Paul for the house payment here. And how are we going to make ends meet? And we got it worked out. And I had nothing extra, okay? We had savings. I set aside a savings. You got to set aside for savings. But I mean, we were maxed out, and it's like $25 a month. I can't give $25. I know our budget, and it's like, okay, God. And I took one of these faith promise cards, like you've got, and I put, yes, I will give $25 to Bob and Barb Van Wyk. Put it in the offering that night. On Monday, a couple days later, that was Thursday night, on Monday, got a call from our realtor, and she says, I have some good news, and I have some bad news. And I says, well, give me the bad news. She says, the bad news is that the house did not appraise for the listing price. It appraised for $14,000 cheaper. And she said, the good news about that is unless someone has that kind of money, the sellers just can't, they're not going to get financing from anyone, so they have to lower the price $14,000, and that results in two things. First of all, that means $6,000 less out of pocket on your down payment. And I'm going, I get to keep $6,000 in my pocket? And that's good, because I was expecting to blow all that. But then here's the next thing, and this is the exciting thing. Your home payment's going to go down a little bit. And I says, how much? She said $27.23. And I'm going, 27, I needed 25. God gave me 223 surplus. I have never been so excited about $27.23 in my entire life. God provided for the faith promise when I said yes. And for the past 7.5 years, we've been giving $25 to Bob and Barb Van Wyk on top of what we do for faith promises. We saw a miracle. There, in 2003, I was sitting in a missions banquet on a Saturday night, and the speaker said, some of you, you've come with a predetermined figure. You've already got it set. I want to encourage you to do more. And my wife and I, we'd been praying about giving to our faith promise, and the amount we had was already like a couple thousand higher than what we had felt God's, than what we could afford. And then as I'm sitting there, I felt God say, I want you to up it another 1,000. And I'm going, what? God, it already is. Do you know that year God provided $3,000 extra for us, and I gladly gave it to missions. He even provided more than that. But God provided for us. And it's not just individually that we see things. Churches that give to missions, that have a heart for missions, are incredibly blessed. One church that I pastored, it was a little church of about 100 people. We had a debt of $286,000, a $3,000 a month mortgage payment. And we did not give a whole lot to missions. And the church had a lot of needs, okay? There was a flat roof. We were sinking a few thousand dollars in every few years to repair the roof. We didn't have money for $50,000 for the roof. We had a gravel parking lot. And it was an Iowa winter. Iowa winters, I mean, that's like you step and you can sink 2-3 inches into the gravel parking lot. And we had carpet in the lobby. It was this crimson red, kind of Nebraska Cornhusker color carpet. I don't know why you had that in an Iowa church, but they did. But there was these big windows about 6 foot by 2 foot, and the sun would shine in every morning, and it kind of bleached out the carpet. We had these big rectangles, 6 yellow rectangles on Nebraska Cornhusker red carpet. It was dog ugly. It was bad. The cost to replace that was $21,000, and to do the sanctuary and the hallways and everything, it was $30,000. We didn't focus on those things. We focused on giving to missions. And the first year that we gave $30,000 to missions, God gave us $30,000 worth of carpet for $500. We recarpeted the entire lobby, the adjoining hallways, and the sanctuary for $500. And the 9 years before, the church had only paid $14,000 on its mortgage. Okay? It wasn't doing very well. But in the next 9 years, we made missions a priority, and God helped us to pay off the $286,000 mortgage. And get this, we got the $30,000 for carpet. We got a $50,000 new roof. We put in a video projection system for $20,000. And we did a $60,000 paved parking lot. The projects totaled $446,000. And I don't know where the money came from. But we tripled missions. It went up 200%. And we added 24 missionaries to support. And God blessed us, and I don't know where the money came from. That's what happens. When you say, God, I want to give the missions, make a missions faith promise, you experience miracles. You experience the unexplained. And if you want to see God do something incredible in your life in this next year, I want to encourage you to take this week and say, God, not what can I give, but God, what can you give through me?
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.